This podcast is for people who are ready to heal body, mind, and spirit and are willing to take full responsibility for what that involves. I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. This podcast contains adult language and themes that are not suitable for young children or those who are easily offended or triggered. The views discussed in this podcast are my own, based on personal experience and of those I have known and worked with for my entire adult life. This show is not meant to take the place of sound medical or mental health advice. You, and only you, are responsible for the choices you make based on the information you hear on this show. Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started. Welcome to Episode 9, How to Slow Your Roll. Some people are born ready. I was born nervous. It's in my nature. I didn't say my first word until I was 18 months old, and then I broke my arm and didn't say another word for 2 years, and after that, I never stopped talking. But as I progressed, I developed a stutter and a lisp. The lisp was cute, but the stutter really got in the way. My grandmother helped me overcome the stutter and lisp with various elocution exercises. But whenever I was under stress, the stutter would briefly return until I was able to take a breath, relax, and then speak clearly again. However, when I was dealing with my intense healing crisis and what turned into some of the darkest years of my life, my stutter returned with a vengeance. It was worse, in fact, than when I was younger, and it really demonstrated to me how my nervous system was activated in such an unholy way to the point that I couldn't get a simple sentence out at times. It took several years after that and the ability to reflect and begin to understand how the nervous system becomes so dysregulated over one's lifetime and how it carries the trauma, the pain, the grief, the unspoken words, the unfelt rage, and so much more that we dump into it when we are unhealed and asleep to our own dysfunctional way of being. That way of being in regard to one's nervous system makes it impossible to do any type of healing work, especially deep healing, transformational work, when you cannot relax, you cannot allow anything into your life with a type of receptive energy that carries no resistance to whatever is being offered. And if what is being offered is a chance to heal your trauma, your pain, your rage, and so on, you won't be able to accept or come close to allowing that help because your nervous system won't agree to it. You will always be in a perpetual state of fight or flight, which is the sympathetic nervous system on fire. If you don't voluntarily slow your roll, you will be forced to slow it due to an unexpected accident or some type of chronic or serious illness or disease that takes you out of your life for an extended period of time and leaves you unable to function in the way that you have been used to functioning. That is exactly what happened to me. I took a bad fall and had a couple injuries I didn't take care of properly because I was going a million miles an hour back then, and I didn't feel I could slow down or that I had the right to slow down. My programming from childhood was running my life and every bad decision I was making at that time. I was warned by several people to take a break, but slowing down was not on my bingo card that year until I had absolutely no choice but to not just slow down, but to crawl to a halt completely. My visit to hell began when I was forced to sit in a rocking chair for hours each day, looking out the same window, because my body began to quickly betray me, and little by little, there wasn't a part of me that wasn't in pain all the time. None of the doctors or therapists I went to at that time could concisely identify what was wrong, but many of them told me that if I could just be a little calmer, I'd have a better chance of unraveling this mystery. And I agreed, but that was not going to be a simple task. Having an overactive nervous system that is unhealed and continually attracting a litany of health issues requires a certain type of mental and emotional nature that establishes the soil that can grow that nervous system dysfunction. So if the nature of the person is overly sensitive, that was my issue from as early as I can remember, or the nature is somewhat fragile for whatever constitutional reason, or the nature is timid because perhaps an individual wasn't told they had a right to fight back or stand up against constant abuse, and you take these types of natures and expose them to daily stress and no respite from that stress, you've got a potent recipe for disaster. And the longer that disaster is suppressed by obligations, belief systems, conflating worthiness with how you produce or how much you produce, and so much more, it festers in the body and creates what I describe as a very destructive energetic resonance that attacks the body and reverberates with a vengeance. That energetic resonance uses the central nervous system as its highway. And as it travels down and around that highway, it permeates and influences everything from your digestive strength to your lung capacity due to habitual shallow breathing, to how your muscles take in everything from hormones to hydration, due to how stress creates resistance and tightness in the muscular structure. TMJ is a great example of the perfect storm of long-term stress, where you are beating your head against a proverbial wall every day that never seems to move. It causes you to grind your teeth and tighten your jaw, tense your neck muscles, until one day you scream like you've never screamed before because you just can't take it any longer, and bam, your temporomandibular joint takes a huge hit, and before you know it, you can't chew food, and you end up on a liquid diet and lose 30 pounds in 6 weeks. How do I know this? Because that's what happened to me. And TMJ was just one issue I had to contend with over a 7-year period where my nervous system had a field day and created a bevy of physical, mental, and emotional issues. The goal is always to create ease and flow within your nervous system. And by doing that, you have an opportunity to lessen or eliminate entirely the dis-ease you have. But before you can do that, you have to understand the patterns that allow that destructive energy to infiltrate you in the first place. How did that nervousness get rooted into your easily seated nature and psyche? How did it gain a foothold and grow to the point where it owns every move or decision you make or don't make? That was born from the environment and the energetic resonating hits that were foisted upon you daily in childhood. The types of people with the natures I mentioned, and I include myself in those natures, and I'm sure there are other types of natures that absorb this dysfunctional energy in the same way. These people allow the programs to unconsciously rule them, and these programs are what will eventually destroy their health. And because these people have never had the opportunity to experience anything except constant nervous system attacks, they are trained to believe that that is the way a nervous system is meant to function. Like, you don't even entertain the concept that there is another option available to you. So we lived our lives and agreed to store this highly dysfunctional energy in our nervous system and never release it in a healthy or mature way. We endured it for decades, and we kept accumulating it. That childhood environment seeded the nervous energy system dysfunctions that show up later, much later, as fill-in-the-blank disease or disorder that are never resolved but only managed. And here's the sticky part. Even when you are years removed from the person or people who triggered these energetic resonances within you, or they have died and you don't have to deal with them any longer, even then, the resonance of that distorted energy that was implanted and programmed into you stays with you. That electrical, chaotic pulse percolates inside you. You act and react based on how that energetic programming impressed itself into your vessel. And you will do whatever you can to find a way to create a quasi-stabilization of that disruptive energy that is always temporary and is typically driven and manipulated by alcohol, drugs, and cigarettes. And once you find what works for you, even though it's very brief and never heals anything, you will continue to use that substance to regulate yourself so you can function in life. Okay, I say function, not live, not thrive, function. Functioning is not living. Functioning is getting from here to there and making no internal progress along the way. Functioning is life-sucking and life-draining, and it usually leads to some type of illness that has no core diagnosis or is wrongly diagnosed and treated with drugs or therapies that are completely counterproductive, which means you get worse very quickly. But while you are a slave to the childhood programming and asleep to the power it has over you, you will believe things that aren't true about yourself, and you will be haunted and driven by the voices in your head that echo the words of the people who impressed the most destruction upon your nervous system. It took me years to stop scolding myself with the words that belonged to someone else. I had to deal with so much environmental stress and responsibilities as a child that always created situations where I felt that there was no way out. To be trapped in a situation you cannot escape from does a hell of a number on your nervous system, and it leads to many, many health issues. At age 11, I had a serious case of gastritis, which forced me to miss school for 3 weeks. An 11-year-old with serious gastritis. Is anyone paying attention? The longer your nervous system is subjected to attacks and your ability to dispel these attacks is either suppressed or not allowed, or you're not able to do it, to move that stuck energy due to obligations, demands being put upon you, belief systems being swayed by people's opinions of you, conflating your worthiness with how much you produce, and so much more. This festers in your body. And then one day, all that fermented resentment and unexpressed rage explodes somewhere, and bam, you suddenly have a big, ugly, very complicated problem. But even after that happens, as long as you maintain beliefs, such as having your nervous system hijacked by others is just, that's just part of life, or that you're not enough, and that you can never do enough, or you can't please enough people, or you can't make enough people happy, and so on and on, you will never have the space you need to breathe, exhale, and find your way to perfect health and heal your nervous system. You will never be able to regulate your stress hormone cortisol. You won't be able to regulate your digestion and elimination, regulate your brain's neurotransmitters, and regulate your sleep-wake cycle. There's no way you can completely heal with all that internal chatter going on. If your cortisol is high at night, for example, you won't be able to sleep. You can't sleep. You'll end up online, where all that blue light from your screen will disturb your sleep cycle even further because it depletes the production of melatonin and even negatively affects your blood sugar. So you become more anxious. The more anxious you train yourself to become, the more tight and rigid you feel all over your body. This leads to weak digestion, so your foods don't provide you with the nourishment you need. The more you hold on to your stress, the more likely you are to have constipation. And if you can't eliminate your waste, you'll create a highly toxic environment within your lymphatic system and bloodstream that exacerbates and contributes to whatever illness you are dealing with. It's one big, ugly cycle. You know, lots of ingredients contribute to central nervous system dysfunction. Certainly, environmental chemicals are a huge problem, especially these awful forever fragrances that you have in conventional detergents and fabric softeners. These are insanely destructive to the nervous system, as well as the endocrine system of people and animals. These chemicals are flat out neurotoxins. So you want to ditch anything that has these chemicals in them and run your washer many times with no clothes in it and pull the apparatus apart where the detergent and fabric softener go in. You want to clean out the crevices, soak it in vinegar and the sunlight. And it may take days of doing this until you notice absolutely no scent. But you have to do it because you have to start eliminating all the things in your environment that are negatively affecting your fragile nervous system. Other ingredients are food additives or preservatives that definitely have a deleterious effect on the nervous system. Food colorings have long been known to aggravate the symptoms of hyperactivity in children and young adults, especially boys. Nitrites and nitrates are also contributory. There's hundreds of potential poisons that conventionally grown foods and processed and cheap packaged foods contain, and they all work in some way to either excite or numb the central nervous system. Remove the ingredient that is attacking the nervous system, and the emotional or mental reaction is often subdued or eliminated. But what if the ingredients are not food or drugs? What if the ingredients are excessive self-judgment or performance anxiety, whatever that performance may be? What if the ingredient is people-pleasing behaviors? What if the ingredient is a belief system? I have to do a good job or something terrible is going to happen. I have to always do things quickly because I can't move fast enough for someone else. I have to put up with this abusive behavior because it's my job to keep the peace. I have to look a certain way in order to be loved. I have to compromise my integrity in order to keep my job. You don't think those belief systems carry a fractured frequency, but they do. And when that frequency hits the central nervous system, it resonates along that pathway. And its long-term goal is to fry it. And what's a fried nervous system? Well, they call that a nervous breakdown, or my personal favorite, nervous exhaustion. Instead of nourishing and calming and feeding your central nervous system and gradually rebuilding it, you are usually given treatments and drugs that do neither. And they don't work, because if you ignore the mental and emotional ingredients that have strongly contributed to all this, you will never realize a total cure or reorganization of the way you choose to see life. I think sometimes a person almost has to go through what is labeled a nervous breakdown, because it's often the only way their nature will allow them to have what is, in actuality, a nervous breakthrough. They had to reach their apex moment. They had to finally find the shit they weren't willing to give. They had to finally off-gas all that suppressed rage, grief, trauma, loneliness, helplessness, and exhaustion into the ether. And they are lucky if they are not hospitalized or forced into a therapeutic regimen that does nothing to heal the broken parts of them that contributed to that explosion of suppressed, self-destructive energy. More than likely, a conventional therapeutic regimen will turn them into a zombie. You will be a slave to this destructive stored nervous energy until you first recognize and acknowledge it for what it is and how it has destroyed the quality of your life, and then second, learn how to dispel it in a healthy way, and then teach yourself how to deflect or not absorb that energy again. I am always surprised by how some people don't know how to dispel nervous energy, or even feel they are not allowed to dispel it. They've grown so used to what it feels like to feed off that electric pulse that dispelling it feels like they'll lose a third leg they've grown so used to. What food will you live on if you don't have that hysteria to choke on? You see, these are the questions you need to ask yourself and create agreements around. Because if you don't understand what is required of you and what you are going to have to give up in order to regulate and heal your nervous system, you won't have a plan in place that trains and teaches you how to reestablish the way you see your life and yourself. If you are not aware that you have to take a hard look at why you think you're not enough or doing enough, or how that is creating the environment that jacks up your nervous system, then you are going to keep maintaining that I'm not enough mentality and never get to the root of your mental beliefs and how they are impressing upon your emotional unrest and how that is screwing up your nervous system. Discharging this trapped nervous energy within the theme of alchemical transformation work usually involves some type of intense awakening moment that involves a lot of screaming interlaced with bouts of traumatic sobbing. And the longer you've held all that inside your nervous system, the more dramatic the release is going to be. While you're screaming and crying, you could simultaneously start shaking and having massive jolts that are discharging all this suppressed garbage that has been destroying you forever. This can happen over a period of months where your body goes through these very dramatic shaking episodes where your body jolts out of nowhere and it feels like a bolt of energy just found a pathway out of you. As hard as these episodes can be in the beginning, you should get used to the effect, and instead of resisting it or being scared of it, I advise you to allow it completely and basically begin to exhaust out of you all those years and most likely decades of every type of mental and emotional programming that has contributed to your lack of physical, mental, and emotional well-being. It all has to be expressed and exhausted out of you over a long period of time, because you simply cannot exhaust it out over a long weekend or even a two-week excursion. It can be discharged in many ways. It's best to choose the physical pathway since you are dealing with the physical body and you need to release all that accumulated tension that is causing you pain and making you sick. Lots of ways to do this. You can do playing sports, dancing, sexual intercourse. Some people can jog, although I'm not a big believer in it, as I think it contributes to a lot of inflammation as you get older. But if jogging is what works for you and helps you to discharge your nervous energy, that's one avenue. Doing deep breathing exercises discharges it. Jumping on a rebounder or mini trampoline is great as a discharger and also as a lymphatic drainer. There's also a practice called TRE that I mentioned in an earlier show, which stands for Tension and Trauma Releasing Exercises. I encourage you to look it up and give it a shot. You're not going to fully regulate your fried nervous system right away, but if you repeatedly dispel and release your nervous energy, engage in specific daily practices that calm your nervous system while also feeding your body nutrients, supplements, and herbs, which I will get to in a second, that all nourish the nervous system, you should start to feel a lot lighter energy within you within the first few weeks or so. It's always subtle at first, because the more wound up you are, the more resistance you're going to have. But as you keep going, you will reduce that resistance reaction until it becomes easier and easier to relax your nervous system. I made a list of everything I did that made what I would call a significant impact on my own nervous system. Now, I did a lot of things, and there's no way I can list all of them. So I'll discuss the practices and supplements that I felt made the greatest positive impact on my nervous system and that also helped to rebuild and regenerate it with the greatest efficiency. These strategies, supplements, and herbs are not going to magically fix you. They will, however, establish a stronger foundation that'll help to fortify your nervous system so you're not white-knuckling your healing work. But you have to simultaneously agree to not engage in behaviors that assault your nervous system, like overscheduling your life, or not being present, or engage in personal dynamics with people who weaken your nervous system. This is all going to take time, and you have to be consistent and persistent. And it's so important to cultivate a healthy relationship with serenity, calmness, and contentment, and not see those as qualities that are boring or lacking in excitement. You have to value and want serenity, calmness, and contentment more than you want to keep feeding off nervous energy. So, first on my list is get off social media. And if you can't get off it completely because you have a business tied into it, limit your time checking your status and replying to people. Limit your time online overall, as it really doesn't nourish the nervous system. I don't respond with lengthy emails anymore. I keep it short and to the point. I don't scroll endlessly and watch a bunch of videos anymore. I watch very little television. Calmness for me is a valued commodity. I'm not looking to upset that apple cart in exchange for something that promises excitement and never delivers, or something I won't remember next week or tomorrow. The next one is learn how to sit in silence with your eyes closed and focus on your breath. See, if I said learn to meditate, you'd have the same reaction I had when someone suggested it to me. And my response back then, when I was really wound up, was, yeah, good luck with that one, Chief. So suggesting you sit in silence with your eyes closed and focus on your breath, which is pretty much what you do when you learn to meditate, is easier to approach. You don't have to sit cross-legged or burn incense or hold a crystal. Just sit comfortably, perhaps incorporate a mudra, which I'll talk about next, and focus on your breath. Do it in the morning and evening for 10, 15 minutes each time. Eventually, you'll learn to slow down your mind until you're able to shut it all out and not have jumping thoughts in your head. Meditation was one of the hardest practices I had to learn, and now I'm able to go from an unfocused state to a completely centered state in less than 10 seconds. And believe me, if I can achieve that, you can too. The mudra I use the most when I meditate or just sit in stillness is the Dhyana. I think it's written Dhyana, and I think it's pronounced Dhyana or Dhyana. It's the Dhyana mudra, and it's simply because the hands. I love this position because your hands naturally fall into this position when you're in a seated position, and it increases the likelihood. This mudra does. To feel a calmness sooner, because the mudra also quickly slows your thoughts. The way you do this mudra is simple. Place your hands in your lap with the right hand cradled on top of the left palm. Then take the tips of your thumbs and join them together. It can be very gentle. You don't have to form a pyramid shape or anything like that. Just make sure that your thumb tips are touching. I'm doing it right now. Notice the difference in how you feel and where you feel it in your body when you lay your hands together and then join your thumb tips. See how the simple movement of joining your thumb tips together is felt in your head. I tend to notice it in my ears for some reason, and sometimes just behind my upper front teeth. You can incorporate this mudra anytime besides meditation. I used to do it all the time when I was sitting in waiting rooms for a doctor or therapist. Today, I'll find myself doing it unconsciously when I'm just seated at a table and talking to someone. The Dhyana mudra really will slow your roll, and you'll love the way it feels the more you incorporate it into your daily life. Next would be what is called box breathing. I mentioned this in episode 6, Facing Your Fears. Box breathing is when you exhale through your mouth to a count of 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then inhale through your nose to a count of 4, hold it to the same count of 4, and then release it through your mouth to the count of 4. Do it seated in a chair in case you get lightheaded, and practice 2 or 3 rounds the first time until you get used to it. You could incorporate box breathing during your meditation with a Dhyana mudra and really create a powerful calming triad. If you decide to take your meditation outside, which I love to do when it's warmer, incorporate grounding with your bare feet planted on rocks or on grass, or even on the trunk of a tree if you lie on your back and place your feet up against the bark. Grounding is a great way to discharge all that electrical nervous energy that you absorb during the day from your computer, from stress, from other people, and so on. The other way to discharge excess of sparking energy is to soak your feet in salt water, ideally at the ocean, but you can also do an Epsom salt foot bath or full bath, which provides you with naturally occurring magnesium since it's a magnesium sulfate compound. If you can find a myofascial release-trained massage therapist, I strongly recommend this incredible technique to not only relax you, but to move trapped emotions that get stuck in the fascia of the body. Look for a therapist who is trained in the John Barnes myofascial release approach. Fascia is like a sausage casing that envelops and encases and holds every bone, nerve fiber, muscle, organ, and more in place. Fascia also holds memory from accidents, and it holds memory from trauma. So when you begin to do myofascial release therapy, don't be surprised if either during the session or after the session, up to 3 days later, you don't become emotional, just out of the blue. It's not really out of the blue. It just seems that way because you can't believe how the act of releasing the fascia has any connections to your buried emotional pain and grief, but it does. One of the ways I was able to potentiate fascial release was to use a specific essential oil formula called Fascia Release from Vibrant Blue Essential Oils. I'll also mention another blend Vibrant Blue has called Parasympathetic Blend that is absolutely incredible for calming and cultivating vagal nerve tone that shifts you from the fight or flight and into the parasympathetic rest and digest system. Just like the Fascia Release Blend is in a roller, which is wonderful, very easy to use. They now offer the Parasympathetic Blend also in a roller, which makes it so much easier to swipe behind your earlobes and then use your finger to massage the oil into the ridge of your outer ear. I do have a discount code and direct link to both of those blends in the notes for this show, so check those out. Next on my list is magnesium, the king of minerals for the nervous system. Ugh, magnesium is the missing link to so many health issues. I mean, it really helps to resolve so many things. I could do an entire show on the powers of magnesium. It's that important a supplement, in my opinion. There are tons of different versions of it, glycinate, citrate, malate, and oxide, and others. And I've literally used hundreds of magnesium products in my life, but the one that seems to outperform the others was a product I found called Magscorbate. And the name comes from a proprietary blend that bonds magnesium oxide with ascorbic acid. It's very powerful, and I only needed one capsule at night to calm my mind and also really relax my muscles, which were chronically tight from the injuries. The next phenomenal herbal formula that never failed to calm me down was the classic traditional Chinese medicine formula known as Buplerum and Dragon Bone. And I'm going to write this in the notes so you can see it written down. This formula is known as the great stabilizer, and that means stabilizing the nerves and anchoring the calming energy known as Shen within you. This formula works so quickly, usually within 20 minutes, and I could feel any heightened anxiety completely descend, and a grounded quality would quickly follow, which dissolved whatever stress state I was in. I highly recommend you try this one. Dwanwood reishi mushroom extract and gynostemma extract were staples for me for the first 5 years when I don't think I missed a day taking one or the other. Just like I could do a show on magnesium, I could do a show on reishi and gynostemma. In my opinion, reishi mushroom is the supreme nervous system stabilizing medicinal mushroom that has such a powerful anchoring effect in the body and mind. It does take a few months of daily use to really notice how reishi is making a difference in your life, but you will benefit long before the 3-month time frame. Gynostemma is known as poor man's ginseng, but don't let that label fool you. Gynostemma is one of the best tonic herbs I've ever used for reducing anxiety and allowing that flow state that you're after. In a placebo-controlled clinical study with 72 healthy participants, gynostemma was shown to effectively lower anxiety from chronic psychological stress. I drank 2 or 3 cups a day of gynostemma tea made from the powdered extract when I was working to calm my body and mind as I dove deeper into the healing practices. And I tried a lot of different brands, but the gynostemma and the Dwanwood reishi from Hyperion herbs were more powerful than other brands, and that meant I didn't have to use as much, so the bag lasted longer. I contacted Hyperion Herbs, and they're extending an offer to my listeners of 10% off your entire order using the code Laurel10, and I have all that information in the notes for the show if you want to check it out. The last one on my list that has made a genuine difference in my mental health is lithium orotate. This is not to be confused with lithium carbonate, which is the drug. Lithium orotate is a lithium salt of orotic acid. I'm probably saying that wrong. It's O-R-O-T-I-C. You can buy it online at any number of outlets. Lithium orotate helps stabilize your mood by modulating dopamine, serotonin, and GABA in the brain. And through those pathways, lithium orotate reduces anxiety and irritability, and it also has neuroprotective effects, especially after living with long-term stress or after having what would be diagnosed as a nervous breakdown or nervous exhaustion. It seems to quell that fried feeling in the head and feeds the brain with a kind of food that repairs the damage done by long-term stress. Now, it can take a few weeks before you really notice the effects, but some people claim they can feel the difference in just two low doses. My personal dose that I used was 5 milligrams to start at night, right before bed on an empty stomach. And then after about 1 week, I think I doubled that and maintained that dose nightly for over 7 years now. Sometimes I'll add another 5 milligram dose in the morning upon rising if I feel I need an additional calm that day, but that's, you know, maybe once or twice a week max I do that. You'll really start to see the shifts in how you deal with stress and are able to slow your roll when you have encounters or experience triggers or stressors that no longer have any effect on you. When you can get to have that experience, it's one of the most rewarding and compelling experiences. So many examples I could give you. When you are no longer intimidated by someone else's rage and can stay in your body and articulate in a calm manner what needs to be said and done without shaking or stuttering or freezing, you know that something has shifted within you, something huge. When you are no longer intimidated by someone who has a real or false power over you, you will definitely recognize that you are healing your nervous system. I got to experience that one, and it's a blast to see and experience the person that you were formerly intimidated by in an entirely different light. But the light was born from the way I stopped agreeing to behave around them. See, they didn't change. They were still considered intimidating by many others, but I no longer allowed them to have any type of power over me or my nervous system. Another sign that your nervous system is finding a steady balance is when you are no longer afraid to speak up or express yourself in a manner that is focused and measured, and where you can also remember what you said because you were present and not dissociating because your nervous system was ruling the words you didn't hear yourself speak. When you can clearly hear what others say because you are actually listening and not allowing your nervous system to gin up another frantic question or interjection that screws up the flow of the conversation, that's another sign of vast improvement. When you are able to experience a brief and minor to moderate shock and allow it to work through you and then release it and continue on your day without allowing that thing to alter your day in any way, that's like discovering a superpower. No joke. When you were held hostage before to a minor or moderate shock that crippled you for hours, if not days afterwards, and that same type of shock now doesn't elicit more than 5 or 10 minutes max of involvement, and that involvement is not mired in being frozen or paralyzed with fear, but with competent action and reaction that's appropriate to the shock, you have truly begun to master the art of healthy self-regulation of your precious nervous system. That's all for this week. Thank you for choosing to listen to this show. If you like what you hear, share this podcast with others and follow me. Check out the notes for this episode where you'll find the discount codes and links for the products mentioned, and also the links to find me on Instagram and X at Laurel Dewey or The Alchemy of Natural Healing. Looking forward to you joining me here next week when the topic is You Don't Know What You Don't Know. New episodes drop every Saturday. Until then, remember that awareness is a demanding mistress. Once she wakes you up, she won't let you go back to sleep.